An hour's time just down the road from our studio, Ireland will kick off against France in a Six Nations rugby match next month. League of Ireland footballers will start their new season, but Gaelic footballers and hurlers have no idea when their national league will throw in or even when they can get together to train for games. This week, after confirmation from the Minister of State with responsibility for sport that inter-county games are not exempt from Level 5 COVID restrictions, the GAA president told members that no on-field activity will be allowed until Easter at the earliest. John Horan's term as the association's president comes to an end this month, and he's with us now. John Horan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gavin.
And thanks for coming in to us today. Have you heard anything from the Taoiseach or the minister responsible this week to make it any clearer when training or games can start again?
No, in our conversation with the minister the other day, in which the Camogie and Ladies Football Associations were with us, we asked the minister the question as to when he saw us actually returning to play. And he outlined to us in that conversation that the return to education and construction were likely to be the main changes in the next level change that comes forward on the 5th of March. And we asked him where did sport fit into all of this, and he said that he didn't see any changes coming in the remit of sport. And it was for that reason that we called our COVID committee together, and to give certainty to both our inter-county teams and our clubs out there, who I know are chomping at the bit to get back training and get back playing, we made it clear to them that we, on the information given by the minister to us, didn't see any changes coming until the beginning of April at least.
Okay, so the calendar that you set out for the year in January with All-Ireland finals in July, that's gone now. So when do you think the finals will be played?
Well, again, as I think the minister before me said, like, you know, we're in a pandemic and we need flexibility, and we will wait and see when we get a clear period of time indicated to us by the Department of Sport as to when we can actually resume and how long we will have actually to play our competitions. And it's at that stage the GAA will sit down and look at a programme that would be feasible for both our clubs and our inter-county to actually function within.
After the celebrations last year, after county finals and after some inter-county matches, do you understand why people are worried about a repeat this year?
I would say that we acted very responsibly in that. Those celebrations were a minority for the amount of matches and games that were actually played. And when we saw that they were causing a problem within society, we closed it down. We didn't get any call from the government or NPHET, so we acted totally responsibly. I don't think that's a feature in impacting on this at the moment. The minister mentioned the word bubbles to us, and he said that, you know, other sports were allowed back in a bubble environment. We couldn't create a bubble environment. If Camogie Ladies Football and the GAA went back in the morning at inter-county level, you'd be talking about over 5,000 players who don't have a professional contract, who work within society, who have families and would be at risk. And it's at the high level of the virus at the moment, with over 1,000 deaths yesterday. We're not going to act in any irresponsible or unsafe way to put our members at risk. And I think Colm de Gascoigne alluded to it yesterday in the Irish Times, that the GAA did it well last year. They're an example to people, and we'll continue to pursue that particular practice of doing it safely and responsibly.
Are children more likely to be back training before county players, do you think?
I would hope so. Subsequent to the meeting the other day, I've had two follow-up phone calls with the Minister of Sport, who has been very helpful to us throughout all this pandemic and has been very accessible to us. And I indicated to him that I felt that we as an organisation could return with our juveniles when schools got back, because it is good for the mental health of juveniles to get them back training. And up to Christmas, we were operating in pods safely within our clubs. We were having over 1,000 juveniles logging on to our WhatsApp return to play protocol, and it all worked out very well. And being the father of two young lads, I'm fully aware of the challenges that are there for the youth of the country in terms of getting out, meeting with their friends, socialising and getting a bit of sporting activity into their day.
There'll be no big crowds at games this year, and a lot of the ways that clubs raise money aren't possible this year too. How much money is the GAA going to need to be able to keep going this year?
You're talking about the losses last year of about 31 million, and like, there would be similar losses again this year. But look, we're a big organisation. We will drive on. We won't let money become an impediment in our functioning as an organisation. And the government, in fairness, supported us last year. That came up in the conversation with the minister the other day as well, as to what funding would be available to the three organisations and how could we go about it, getting it again. He did indicate to us that there was money in the budget, but he felt that there probably would be a need for more money because the pandemic has worsened rather than improved, certainly in the short term.
And have you a commitment for more money this year?
We have a commitment, yes, that there is money there, and that he said the Department of Sport would have possibly to go back to government and get an increase in the fund that's actually there for sporting activity. The government do appreciate the value and the importance of sport within Irish society.
The TV rights deal for the GAA runs out this year, and for more and more people, that's the only way they're going to be able to see their team for a while. Should volunteers, lifelong supporters, have to pay Sky to see their team?
Look, these contracts are up for negotiation this year, and what I would say is that the GAA at its Congress, by a very clear majority, accepted the practice of a certain amount of games would actually be done by pay-per-view. I think there's this year alone, both RTE, TG Cahir and Sky were all very cooperative, and Sky pulled down their games from behind the paywall on Sky Sport and actually allowed it on the ordinary Sky channel. And I think since Sky came on board, I'd have to be very honest and say, I think RTE's sports performance has improved greatly in their presentation of the game. So I think competition within the market has been a positive.
So do you think it's fair then, when the GAA relies on volunteers, to ask them to pay Sky to watch their team?
The GAA, as I said at its Congress, has made that clear decision. We're quite happy. It's only a minority of games are behind the paywall, and Sky did bring it outside the paywall this year and allowed it. And, you know, the GAA as a membership embraced the whole streaming this year when, without the possibility of attending matches, county boards and other parts, provincial bodies, did stream matches. And in that streaming, we were able to generate revenue and keep the organisation afloat. And in some counties and provinces, it was very successful. And the membership accepted it, that rather than paying at the gate, they actually paid to see the game streamed to them. And there was no quibble. And I think the performance and the product actually improved as the year went on.
You mentioned earlier there about that meeting earlier on during the week that involves the GAA and the two women's organisations, the LGFA and the Camogie Association. I know your term is coming to an end, but into the future, what do you think? Would women players, women's games get equal status if their organisations and the GAA were to join together, were united as one organisation?
Well, in actual fact, the three organisations had a meeting with the other day with Ciara Mulvey and John Tracy from Sport Ireland, and that was key to the actual conversation was there. And we made a presentation to Sport Ireland about the level of cooperation that has gone on within the organisation in the last number of years. There was a move a few years ago to actually integrate the three organisations fully, but there was a time frame set on it, and I think that time frame caused the problem of trying to rush it, and it actually knocked things further back. And it, fairness to my predecessor Éagan O'Farrell, he restarted the process, and we did come to a memorandum of understanding with the two organisations, and there's been a huge amount of progress between the cooperation between the three organisations. They were on our COVID committee. The funding applications to the government were done together. In recent times, we've had a greater integration on our committees. Next week, there's a common player pathway for the three organisations is going to be produced. Their two CEOs sit on our management committee. And out of the conversation the other day with Sport Ireland, we alluded to the fact that maybe similar to what we have in the GAA of rounders and handball, having their own president and their own council, but are very much part of the GAA family, that we would actually pursue that federal model with Camogie and Ladies Football. And Sport Ireland have offered us help in actually pursuing that.
But you look at what happened last year, the All-Ireland semi-final between Cork and Galway, and there isn't a senior women's player up and down the country listening to us today who hasn't had the experience of having to move or change plans to accommodate a men's or even a boys' team. Would they have equal status, their games equal billing under one united organisation?
I think that's an exceptional case that you're highlighting there, and I was very much involved in that on the day because there was a problem with Parnell Park and the game
players
was...
Players would disagree, John.
Well, all I can say is truthfully that Helen O'Rourke contacted me that morning at 20 past 10 and said there was a problem with Parnell Park. And I contacted Croke Park, and within 20 minutes, we had the stewards and everybody contacted to open up Croke Park earlier to get that game played in Croke Park. So I think the GAA did its best. I think if you look at it, the ladies, Camogie All-Ireland semi-finals were played in Porkycueve. We're working on that, and I think there will be improvements. And I think if you look back over the last number of years, there has been huge improvements in the cooperation. And you'll find that there's double bills of inter-county games where ladies' National League games are being played before our own National League games, and Camogie the same. And I think it's all moving in the right direction. The last thing we need to do now is to try and push this at a faster pace. It is evolving. I know people may say that, you know, it should be going quicker, but it is getting better and it will continue to get better. And there's a definite resolve among the leadership of the three organisations.
You're leaving office with Dublin as football champions again, four in a row for the women and six for the men, eight out of the last 10 for the men. And for many, the championship is losing its appeal. How do you change that? Is it good for the GAA to have one team dominating so much?
No, it's not. I think if you go back to the 90s and we saw the difference in hurling where Clare, Wexford and other teams came through, it caused great excitement, and it always causes great excitement when the association to see new teams coming through. Look, Dublin's dominance could be compared to Kilkenny's dominance, could be compared to the dominance of Cork and Kerry and Munster back to 1935. Only Clare and Tipperary have won two Munster titles between them. We put a fixture review committee together because we feel that maybe the structure in the football championship at the moment doesn't really serve it well, particularly in Leinster and particularly in Munster. There are proposals on the table there of a restructuring of the actual football championship. We hoped to get them through at a special congress last September. Obviously COVID stopped that. Our hopeless congress, that's gone. So these have been put back for a full debate at a special congress later in the year, although, you know, will we be allowed to have crowds? But when we get crowds back and we can have a full and proper debate, I think it's an overall restructuring of the championship would challenge Dublin's
dominance.
And would
you prefer to see a football championship without provincial championships?
I think if you were to restart it all back again, you probably wouldn't do the provincial structure for the football championships. Yeah, I would be an advocate of the league structure where I think it would be more competitive and more beneficial and we'd have better quality games.
John Horan, GAA President, thank you very much for speaking to us today.